Good day, everybody. This is Season 2, Episode 4 of the podcast Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo. And this week, we're going to kind of take a week off from the serious stuff going on in Washington and elsewhere. And there's plenty of it, don't get me wrong. It's infuriating to watch. But we're gonna take 1 week off here and deal with the fun and games part of life, mostly. So stay tuned for that. Let's begin, as we usually do, with our facts for the week. This will cover March 19th through the 25th. On March 19th, it's the anniversary of the United States and the United Kingdom beginning a war in Iraq to oust Saddam Hussein from power. The bombardments began on March 19th of 2003. Birthdays that day include the former Chief Justice, the late Earl Warren, born March 19th, 1891. Curiously, today, as I record this on Tuesday, there's 80-some thousand pages more about the JFK assassination coming out, I guess you could say, being released by President Trump. I'm not aware of any bombshells yet. We'll see. Anyway, Earl Warren, as you probably know, his commission investigated the Kennedy assassination back when it happened. The other birthday on March 19th is the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, who will be 67 years old. On March 20th, the Republican Party formally organized in, of all places, Ripon. I think I'm saying that. It's either Ripon or Ripon, Wisconsin, on March 20th, 1854. Also, the first KFC opened on March 20th, 1930, in North Corbin, Kentucky. I'm glad it was in Kentucky, being that it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Birthdays, March 20th, the late, great Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers from the neighborhood, born March 20th, 1928. The legend, Bobby Orr, number 4 for the Boston Bruins, is 77 on March 20th, and filmmaker Spike Lee will be 68. On March 21st, 1980, President Jimmy Carter announced that the United States would boycott the Summer Olympic Games that were to be held that summer in Moscow. That was due to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in late December of 1979. United States athletes did not participate in the 1980 Summer Olympic Games as a result. Birthdays include Johann Sebastian Bach, born March 21st, 1685, and the catcher for the Pirates teams in the early 1970s. He was on the 1979 team and got a big pinch hit to win a game in the World Series as well. Manny Sanguian, the great Manny Sanguian, will be 81 on March 21st. Happy birthday, Manny. March 22nd, Please Please Me, the Beatles' first number one hit, was released in Great Britain as a single on March 22nd, 1963. It took a few months for that to migrate to the United States, but when it did, it never stopped. Birthdays on March 22nd, William Shatner, Captain Kirk, 94 years old, still going. Bob Costas, now semi-retired from calling baseball games, at least. Bob Costas will be 73. Actress Reese Witherspoon will be 49. And J.J. Watt will be 36. On March 23rd, 2010, President Barack Obama signed his landmark legislation, the Affordable Care Act, known informally as Obamacare. It's still funny to hear some people complaining about it and well, we don't like Obamacare, but we love the ACA. Well, they're the same thing, dummy. He signed it into law March 23rd, 2010, and it is a great piece of legislation. Birthday on March 23rd, Kyrie Irving, the former Cleveland Cavaliers guard, hit the winning shot for the 2016 World Championship in Oakland in Game 7. Kyrie Irving played 11 games in college for Duke, is 33. On March 24th, Twinkies were invented on March 24th, 1930. Birthdays include George Sisler, the Hall of Famer, mostly first baseman for the St. Louis Browns, who was born in Manchester near Akron, Ohio, March 24th, 1893. Also, Peyton Manning, the National Football League Hall of Fame quarterback, and everywhere on television now, it seems, Peyton Manning will be 49. Finally, this week on March 25th, The tragedy that was known as the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire took place in New York City, March 25th, 1911. I used to teach about that a lot. 140-some people, I think all women, plunged to their deaths or were burned to death in that fire. The doors were locked from the inside. The fire escapes didn't work. Just a terrible tragedy. And it really galvanized a lot of people in New York City to work for workers' rights, and unions had a big boost because of that terrible event that happened in 1911. Birthdays on March 25th, there are a few. Admiral Jim Lovell, who flew four missions in space, Gemini 7, Gemini 12, Apollo 8, the first mission to orbit the moon, and the ill-fated but legendary flight of Apollo 13. He was the commander of Apollo 13. Jim Lovell is 97 years old and still going. Happy birthday, sir. Aretha Franklin, the late great, one of the greatest voices in American history, I'm sure. Aretha Franklin was born March 25th, 1942. Sir Elton John will be 78 on March 25th. And around here, a legend, saw them at Blossom more than once, Michael Stanley. Michael Stanley was born March 25th, 1948. He passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. Was doing a lot of DJ work on a local radio station for a long time. The Michael Stanley Band is one of those cases where the music business just isn't fair. I mean, it just isn't. Those guys were really good and insanely popular around here, and I guess in St. Louis area. And that's about all it ever got to, really. Never hit it big nationally or internationally, but they were really good. I have a number of their albums, and happy birthday to the late Michael Stanley. All right, moving on now. Again, our topics this week are going to focus on the fun and games department of life. First off, our basketball contest, the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments. Actually, the men's tournament begins as we record here this evening on Tuesday evening with play-in games in Dayton, Ohio. Those do not affect the bracket contests, however. So you can sign up until Thursday at noon. Let's put the deadline Thursday at noon for signing up for our men's and women's basketball contests. Here are the directions. I'll do them one step at a time. Go to ESPN.com. Go to Fantasy on the top. Once you're in there, you'll find tabs for both the men's tournament challenge and the women's tournament challenge. When you pick one or the other, or hopefully both, it will then send you to another menu board. Pick groups from that menu board, and then you'll find Then and Now Men's Hoops. That's our men's group. And Then and Now Women's Hoops. That's our women's group. Again, the Tuesday-Wednesday games in Dayton are play-in games. They won't affect the bracket games. So go ahead, fill out your bracket, join our groups. Then and Now Men's Hoops for the men's tournament. Then and Now Women's Hoops for the women's tournament. This is the first year we've done the women's tournament. The women's tournament was insanely popular last year, and I think it's all fair and just that we go both. So again, the deadline will be Thursday at noon because that's when the men's tournament will begin. The deadline may be a day or two later for the women's tournament. I don't have that in front of me, however. The password, when you get in there, you will need a password. It is the number 3 followed by good questions, no capital letters. 3 good questions, numeric 3 good questions, is the password to get into our Then and Now groups for the men's and women's basketball tournaments. Okay, so go ahead, get in there. We'll have a nice contest. We'll see who wins this year. Nikki Kammer Yates, the defending champion, already has her picks in, or has her bracket in anyway for the men's tournament. So we'll be trying to dethrone her this year, I guess. All right, secondly, for our topics, way to go, Akron Zips. I went up to the quarterfinals of the MAC tournament, the four-game day, if you will, last Thursday at Rocket Arena. I guess that's what they're calling it now, in Cleveland. Went up there with my high school buddy, Eric Ball. We met some folks up there, including frequent podcast contributor Jeff Cole. It was nice to finally meet Dave Kelsey face-to-face after knowing him through contests and through emails and so forth for years. Nice to meet Dave. The Zips were pretty dominant on Thursday when we were there, winning by 29 points over Bowling Green. And on Friday, a kind of solid 190 win over Toledo. But they had their hands full Saturday night in the championship game against the Miami Redhawks. Miami shot the lights out in Cleveland in the first half. They were up by as many as 18 points in that game. It looked pretty bleak for the Zips, but they kept grinding. They kept fighting. They got close. That's, I guess, what a championship team does. They fought back, tied the game. Miami missed a shot with about 9 seconds to go. Akron got the rebound, long outlet pass to the MAC Player of the Year, Nate Johnson, who made a little runner in the lane with 2.3 seconds left to win the game for Akron and win the MAC tournament and the MAC championship for the Zips. They were the regular season MAC champions as well. It's Akron's sixth MAC tournament men's title since 2009, when my old high school baseball and basketball teammate Keith Dambrot was coaching the team. Plus, they count a title in 2020 for the regular season. They were MAC men's regular season champs in 2020. They were literally warming up on the court in Cleveland when everything was canceled due to the COVID problem. So they count that title as well. So I guess if you count that one, it's seven MAC titles for the Zips since 2009 for the Zips men's team. It's their third championship in the last four seasons. Their reward, if you want to call it that, is a flight to Seattle, probably leaving, I guess, tomorrow on Wednesday, to face Big 12's Arizona Wildcats on Thursday night. They probably left yesterday, now that I think of it. Or do they play Friday? I think they play Friday. Friday at 7:30 on True TV will be Akron and Arizona. We'll see about that. Arizona is beatable. They do have Caleb Love, the former Tar Heel guard, who's a tremendous player. They'll have to keep him in check somehow. But I give the Zips a fighting chance. I think the line is 13.5. I would hazard a bet on the Zips there to get closer than that. Hopefully they can win the game. Speaking of Miami, and I want to give them their due here. Second place, regular season in the MAC. Runner-up by a buzzer beater, basically, in the MAC championship game. And they were shafted completely by the National Invitation Tournament, the NIT. They did not get an invitation to the NIT. That went to Kent State, in spite of the fact that Miami was 3-0 versus the Kent State Golden Flashes this year, including a win in the MAC tournament semifinal up in Cleveland against Kent. Miami had the second best overall record. They were number two in the league, but they were passed over for the number three team, the Kent State Golden Flashes, by the NIT committee. I really don't know what's going on there, but there's something off about that. I think there's a real influx period going on with the other tournaments, I think, right now. How relevant can the NIT be when they pass up teams like Miami? I don't know where it's going to wind up in 3 or 4 years. The NCAA tournament is talking about, our NCAA committee, some of the people on the committee are talking about expanding to 72 or 76 teams. I don't think they need to expand any more than they already have, but that's just my opinion. I don't know how relevant any of the other postseason tournaments in college basketball can possibly be. I think the transfer portal opens up next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend, before one of the tournaments even starts. One of the postseason tournaments isn't supposed to start until March 30th or 31st. So it's a mess behind the NCAA tournament. I saw that the governor of West Virginia is having his attorney general investigate the NCAA basketball committee for leaving the Mountaineers out of the tournament. While I do think they have a case that they should have been picked maybe over the North Carolina Tar Heels, I think the governor of West Virginia probably has more to worry about, really, that's important than sicking his attorney general on the NCAA selection committee. I do absolutely think they belong in the tournament. Don't get me wrong there. And that would make me and a bunch of my family members happy from West Virginia. But, it's sports and it's not life and death. And I don't know that it rises to that level. Anyway, just had to say something about that, I suppose. Moving on, the Major League Baseball regular season started a few hours ago, Tuesday morning at about 6:10 a.m. Eastern Time, with a game in the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan, between the Los Angeles Dodgers, the defending world champions, minus two of their best players, by the way, Mookie Betts, who has a flu and was sent back home to California, having lost 15 pounds due to this flu. And Freddie Freeman, who had some rib soreness, which was plaguing him in the postseason last fall. They did not play on Tuesday morning. It was a tidy, nice little 4-1 Dodger win over the Chicago Cubs. Shohei Ohtani had a single, a double, and scored twice. And obviously the fans in Japan ate that up. They loved it. The Cubs and Dodgers will play again Wednesday, about 6:10 a.m., before returning to the States and starting the rest of their regular season next Thursday, March 27th. That's the date when 28 of the 30 teams will play. The only two teams who will not have opened up their season, weather permitting, by the end of March 27th will be the Colorado Rockies and the Tampa Bay Rays. They will play, they will open their season on Friday in Tampa. The local teams of note, Cleveland, the Cleveland Guardians will open their defense of their Central Division title in Kansas City on Thursday the 27th. The Royals are a strong team, obviously. They made the playoffs last year, and those games, those 13 games between Cleveland and Kansas City will be big this year. The Pittsburgh Pirates, my team, will be in Miami, opening in Miami for the second straight season. Those games both start next Thursday at 4:05 Eastern Time. Moving back to the Tampa Bay story for a minute, I know I've discussed this a little bit previously, but I just can't believe that Major League Baseball is in a place where the Tampa Bay Rays, for the next two or three seasons, if you will, I think it's three, will be playing their games, their home games, at Steinbrenner Field. That's the Yankees' spring training facility in St. Petersburg, or I think that's in Tampa, actually. The capacity at Steinbrenner Field is 11,026, not very much bigger than Canal Park here in Akron. They're going to play home Major League Baseball games in that ballpark for at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. After that, who knows? I'm not sure they'll even be in Tampa by then. I would like to see them moved to Montreal. That would be my persuasion there, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, Tampa will be playing home games there. The Athletics, as they're being called, the artist formerly known as the Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Oakland Athletics, the Athletics will be playing their games in Sutter Health Park, the Sacramento Bees AAA ballpark in West Sacramento, California. The capacity of that ballpark is 14,014. It's rather embarrassing, I think, that we're at a place in Major League Baseball where two of the 30 teams are playing their home games for multiple seasons in minor league ballparks. Minor league ballparks are great. They're nice. They're fun. It's a great time to go down to Canal Park and watch a ball game. You're close to the action, et cetera. I'm not knocking minor league ballparks, but it's minor league. Big league ballparks are big. I mean, bigger. And it's just, I think it's embarrassing to the sport that we're at a place like that. Two of the American League teams are playing in minor league ballparks for multiple seasons. It appears likely that both of those teams will use these ballparks through 2027 if there's a 2027 season. Don't be surprised if there's a labor stoppage before the 2027 season gets underway. You heard it here first, regrettably. Okay, moving on to our three good questions segment. We have three good questions here, a couple of them from the aforementioned Jeff Cole. Here's the first question for you. We'll give the answers next week. Name the five original members of the Mid-American Conference, being that we were all up at the MAC tournament last week. The MAC began in 1946 with five member schools. A clue here, only one of those five is still a member of the Mid-American Conference. One is now Division III. One of the other ones is now a Division III institution, by the way. Name the original five members of the Mid-American Conference. If you want to give it a shot here, and the person who gets closest, I'll shout them out on the next podcast. Give your answer to us at our email address, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's T-H-R-E-E instead of the password for the tournaments up there. It's three spelled out this time, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. Give us your guesses for the questions, and if you get one right, we'll shout you out here. Okay. The second question this week also comes from Jeff. Five men's basketball teams in Division I, okay, won 30-plus games this year and made the tournament. How many can you name without looking them up? And how many, this is a question I can't answer yet, how many of them will be around by the time I do the next podcast next week? 30-plus wins and in the tournament, chances are one or more of them will get knocked out. That's the way the tournament goes. So if you can name the five men's basketball teams who won 30 games or more this year and made the tournament, send it to us at 3goodquestions@gmail.com. Our third question is meteorologically related here as we get ready to begin actual spring. In the history of Cleveland weather, now this is the National Weather Service office at Cleveland. In the history of Cleveland weather, how many dates out of the 366 possible have never seen a tie temperature of 60 or more? In other words, of the 366 days in a year, including a leap year, how many of those dates, month and day, have never seen a temperature of at least 60 degrees? We'll give you the answer again next week, and we'll actually even tell you the days. So, in the history of Cleveland weather, how many dates have never seen a temperature of at least 60 degrees for a high? Since the records have been kept, and that goes 100 years back or more, okay? I don't have it in front of me, but that's a long-standing list of temperatures. Let's put it that way. Again, if you want to take a shot at any of the three good questions, send us an email at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That ought to do it for this week's edition of Then and Now, our last wintertime edition, if you will. Spring is just around the corner. By the time we talk to you next week, it'll be officially spring, and that's a good thing for a lot of reasons. So this is John Shomo. I hope you have a great week. Thanks for tuning us in. Thanks for choosing us. You can get us on Spotify. Have a great week, everybody, and let's go Zips.